With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Guys, it's T-Blade from Pure Evil MMA, pureevilmma.com. It is fight night, even though it doesn't really feel like a fight night. We're going to discuss that in a second. Obviously, Bellator, Chris Cyborg, and the UFC is going down tonight. We'll have all the results up for you. But tonight, we're going to have a little fun. We've been kicking off 2020 with some new ideas here. We got Rhino joining us back once again here at Pure Evil MMA. What's going on, Rhino? How you been?
I'm doing great, my man. How are you doing, Evil Lady?
I'm doing good, man. You know, just a little stressed out with some technical things going on over here at the studio. But, man, UFC 246, bro. Conor McGregor, 40 seconds. You do a breakdown on that on the show after?
Yeah, sir, did a breakdown last week on it. And, you know, what the kind of boiled down to was, I don't know if Cowboy is durable enough anymore to compete at this level. And did we get a great showing from Conor? We don't know yet. But he looked pretty fucking good for that 40 seconds, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's kind of a wait and see what's next. There's a lot of really interesting matchups. You can talk about Gaethje, you can talk about Diaz, you can talk about Masvidal. You know, you can talk about a rematch with Khabib down the road. There's a lot of fun things to go on with Conor, but I was pretty sad to see my boy Cowboy go down without much of a fight.
Now, what makes you kind of special and stand out from a lot of the other podcasters that I like is that you're actually a fighter, so... The way we set this up today was we got some legit fighting questions for you that I feel our listeners can actually learn something from you as a fighter. And I'm definitely going to learn a lot of stuff here because there's a lot of things that I'm not even sure of. So I can't wait to see what you got in store. Guys, before we start today's show, Rhino, last night after we spoke, I went to the store to get cigarettes and literally witnessed a store get robbed last night. Like, okay, so this is what happened. I want to know if you've ever seen anything like this. So I pull up to the store, go inside, get my cigarettes. I come out, and you know, here in the city, you got to keep your eye out. You don't know who's going to come up to your door or what's going on around you, especially late at night. So there was a car pulled up in front of me, and they were sitting there being kind of sketched. Girl gets out the car, starts walking inside the store. She's giving me eyes, like legit staring at me. So I was like, all right, used to it, but I'll take another little tag in the app. Then the boyfriend opens up the door, gets out, and he's giving me eyes. So I'm like, all right, what's going on here?
Sketchy.
He walks in, seconds later, he books it outside, runs right past my car, and starts booking it up the hill. The owner of the store comes out, and mind you, a couple years ago, it used to be a Papa John's. My dad went in there, got home, started eating the pizza. It was live all over the news. The guy got robbed and shot and killed. So
from the very same location?
Yeah, very same location.
Wow.
So, you know, it looked like a drug addict kid, but took off. I gave a police report, and you just think of those moments like, bro, you're gonna steal a bottle of Hennessy? Like, what, for the thrill, or you got no money? Like, you ever seen anything like that? Been in a store robbery?
Yeah, that's funny. The only time I've ever seen a robbery was in your city of New York. I was there with my mom, just the two of us. The rest of my siblings and my dad didn't go on the trip. And I would have been fairly young and legit smash and grab style saw two dudes run up to a jewelry store window front in Manhattan, smash out the front, grab a bunch of shit and take off running. And then again, just like you, the store owner just kind of ran out and gave chase. But yeah, that's the only time I've ever seen anything even close to what you're talking about.
It's that sounds like something out of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or something that you saw.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very surreal moment. And, you know, my mom just kind of like, we were probably 20 feet away. There was people everywhere. So it wasn't like this was like a late night. It was like mid-afternoon. Sun was shining, you know, summertime in New York City, dude. And then, yeah, it all happened right in front of everybody.
That's so weird. Like, to be a mother and, you know, children being around for that, that had to be a little strange for her. But are you sure you were on the set of the movie The Town?
No, I saw The Town, right? That was with Ben Affleck and the dude from The Hurt Locker, Jeremy Renner, right?
Yeah, Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, I definitely saw that. I don't remember them smashing the storefront window and pulling shit out. I don't think so.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. That's like, I'd rather do something like that than still a bottle of Hennessy, though, you know?
I don't drink liquor, so I'm with you. I would rather have a Jewel of some sort instead of some sort of Hennessy.
Well, I don't know if you've heard this. I interviewed the fighter, the MMA fighter that got in trouble for allegedly robbing a bank, Sergio De Silva. And the Gotti family actually stepped in to help him out.
Really? No, I didn't know that the same Gotti who the kid fought on CES last night.
Yeah, and a quick update for everybody. Gotti actually won that fight last night. Big win for CES for sure over at UFC Fight Pass, which... Which, it's nice to see because imagine, just picture in your head for a second, John Gotti fighting in the UFC. You know, just the Gotti name, you know.
Definitely going to draw some eyes for sure.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so let's kick this thing off with some heat here. Rhino, are you ready for this? Because it's about
born ready, sir.
It's about to get turned up here at Pure Evil MMA. And for you guys tuning in on the live chat, you can actually play along. Let me get you all set up over there. Right underneath so people can hear you nice and good. All right. And we got the backup recorder. This is going to be on YouTube directly afterwards too for everybody. All right. Question number one. What is the fastest technique to hit your opponent? Is it A, a right cross, B, back leg snap kick, C, jab, or D, lead hand hook?
Jab. Final answer. Saw
you
there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm trying to click it. All right. Jab is C. All right. So it's going to tell us the answer. Hold on. I got to press start.
There was a serious pause there, dude.
No, I had to press start. I was trying to click it. I didn't press start yet, so it wasn't letting me click it. All right. So you said the jab?
Yeah, I said jab.
All right. And that's correct. The
yes, jab. Sir.
Your score is 10 out of 100 so far. Okay. Let's see. Next question. Question number two. If you want to knock someone out with one or two punches, where should you hit them? A, the nose, B, the front of the chin, C, the mouth, D, the jaw, or E, the eye?
It's a front of the chin, final answer.
All right, let's click it. And incorrect, it says the jaw. And you know what? These are kind of questions where it's case to case, I feel, right?
It certainly is. It's certainly also, you know, I've far more success knocking people out with the front part of the chin than I have, like, the back jaw by the ear area. But, you know, whatever. It's all kind of your own experience.
Well, do you feel like weight classes have a lot to do with it, too?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. And, you know, keep in mind, I'm a pro boxer, not a pro MMA fighter. So I fight with, I fight with 10-ounce gloves, and they fight with 4-ounce. So those are differences as well.
So here's my question for that. You said the front of the jaw or front of the chin, and then the correct answer was the jaw. Well, what's the big difference there for people that might not know?
The thing that I've always learned back in the day was if you hit it on the front of the jaw, you're going to get enough trajectory to where the jaw is going to slam. There's a nerve behind our earlobe where that fucking jaw, that mandible part of your jaw is going to hit that, and it's almost like a switch, and it puts you out. If you just hit someone square on the jaw, that's not going to hit that nerve. That's just going to push it into their face. So I actually stand by my answer, and I think I got real scientific and brainy on that one.
Oh,
I'm
thinking
my answer is being right, so I dispute that they're because you got to get the full range of motion where the jaw actually moves around and slaps that back nerve behind your eardrum to put the lights out.
All right, so the next question. Here we go here. What submission is the most automatic response submission, even for non-fighters? The armbar, the guillotine choke, the triangle choke, or the leg lock?
You said what's the most automatic response?
Yeah, like what would people naturally go for in a fight?
Oh, they would naturally go for the guillotine.
Which, to people out there that may not know, is just wrapping up the neck.
Yes.
All right. I'd say the same thing, too. That's correct. Imagine if they put armbar.
Like, I don't think anybody was using armbars back in, like, the barbaric days of battle, you know what I mean? But I'm sure there was some chokes being employed.
They used the old toe hold.
Pulling off the ankle. Go-go plata.
Yeah, yeah. Flicking the crown off like Nate did. But, you know, like, when you were younger, did you have those little WWF beat-up dolls?
1,000% yes. Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, the Bulldogs.
I had the Hulk Hogan one, and then they had the advanced ones in, like, 1996 where you can, like, squeeze their nose and they talk. Remember those?
I did not have those. That was past my WWE time, was 96.
You're talking about, like, yeah, just the pillows. We're talking about, like, the NWO era when they came out with those. Yeah.
Okay.
What is the most overused kick in mixed martial arts? Is it A, front snap kick, B, straight knee, C, back leg roundhouse kick, D, spinning side kick, or E, back leg snap kick?
I think it would be one of the leg kicks, I would think. You said what's the most overused or the most...
Most overused, yeah.
Most overused. It would have to be a leg kick, I would think. There was two snap kicks that you said, right?
Yeah. Front snap kick, straight knee, back leg roundhouse kick, spinning side kick, and back leg snap kick. The straight knee, that's an oblique kick, right? Is that what they're saying there?
I'm not even 100% sure what they're saying right there. I'm going to go with the last one, the back leg snap kick.
All right, let's click it. Incorrect. Back leg roundhouse kick, which I disagree with. Yeah. Roundhouse kick, most overused kick. I totally
disagree. It's almost like semantics. You mean overused, like overused and unsuccessful, or is it overused as in like it gets used the most?
I'm guessing they meant used the most, but. Just like the low kick. Like, I would agree with you there out of those.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel good about the two answers. I feel like
I agree. Right,
even if this computer program is saying that they are wrong.
I 100% agree. All right, next question. What is the best strategy to beat a great boxer / wrestler? Try to outbox him and submit him with...
I gotta go with C.
Or keep it standing and fight him from the inside with a lot of uppercuts, hooks, and knees.
Well, it's gonna be C or the last one because I think Randy Couture was probably the best at that because he wasn't a very good stand in the middle and fight with the guy. But he'd love to get you up against the cage and dirty box you and then take down and employ some ground and pound. So, I'm just going to go with put him up against the cage and dirty box, whatever one that one. I think it was C.
Yeah, C. Let's see here. Correct. Yeah, I would agree with that one too.
Yeah.
For a boxer wrestler. All right, next question. Who is the longest reigning champion in the UFC? GSP, Randy Couture, Chuck Liddell, Anderson Silva, or BJ Penn?
Anderson Silva.
And that's correct. Also tied with Demetrius Mighty Mouse.
That's right. But I didn't know if they would include him because he's over across the overseas now. I don't know if they would include him in that.
Let me ask you this, man. Do you think that was a smart decision on his end when it comes to,
financially, absolutely, it was the right move to do. No matter what, no matter how great TJ was, there is I hate to use the word prejudice, but there really is against the smaller weight classes, in particular the men's 125. He just, for as great as he is, he never drew the numbers that he deserved, and he never got the credit I think that he deserved as far as MMA fans and from the UFC brass. I granted Dana would say he's a phenomenal fighter, great fighter, one of the best of all time. But you want to talk about just strictly like numbers, like the guy couldn't carry a pay-per-view by himself.
Which is weird, and, though, you know?
Right. He was so talented. He was so fun to watch. But, you know, he was too small, wasn't a lot of big KOs, you know what I'm saying? So I think that was a part of it.
And the weirdest part is, like, when Conor McGregor came around, he kind of brought back the featherweight division. And I really thought around that same time, Demetrius was doing well with getting a lot of finishes. He had that the flying armbar. Remember he got flying armbar?
Great work, dude. That was so amazing. But again, it's body of work. It's highlight real shit that gets like people who aren't really fans interested in it. And he didn't have a ton of those as far as they were concerned. I was always a huge Mighty Mouse fan from the time he was in Tough. I love the guy. I'm not a huge fan of most of the 125ers just because it hasn't been a very deep division for very long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he was always, I mean, he's in the top five ever doing, honestly, skill-wise.
I agree, man. Next question. After Royce Gracie came into the UFC, which style blew up and many MMA fighters started to immediately study? Wrestling, Muay Thai?
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, final answer. I don't need to hear about
it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. All right, next question. What is the best build for a boxer? 170 pounds, 5'6", or 170 pounds, 5'11"?
5'11", 170.
And yes, correct. Why, though? Can you just explain to the audience why that would
be? Sure. It's got to do with reach, first of all. Just your arm, right? Like your arm length and your reach, easier to hit your opponent. And then to be able to get out of the way. To dip backwards and avoid shots, to slip, to create distance. You're the general when you're the taller guy. At 6 foot tall, in the heavyweight division, I have been shorter than, I believe, 19 of my 21 opponents. So my goal every single time was to get inside. And the two times I was taller than a guy, I felt like it was so much different. I'm not going to use the word easier, but it was easier to implement my game plan with that than it was all the times I've been the shorter guy. Because I fight guys 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", on the regular throughout my career. So, yeah, definitely the taller guy with the range, not just with your offense, but with your defense, being able to get out of the way.
So the next question, I like that it's asking these types of questions. What is the best build for a wrestler? 170 pounds, 5'10"? 170 pounds, 6'2", or 170 pounds, 5'5"?
170 pounds, 5'5".
Now, why would you say that?
From my understanding, just look at all the guys who have been great wrestlers. That, you know what I mean? You want to talk about Sean Sherk. The guy had no reach at all. He was super short, super, super thick, stocky. Matt Hughes. A lot of the guys who I would think of are traditionally as your best wrestler, short, stocky, explosive. Because, you know, when you're short like that, you're going to be able to explode into your double leg. Yeah. You don't need to have a big reach, you know what I mean, when you're wrestling. So, yeah, I think the shorter, the stockier, the better. So I'm going to go with the Sean Sherk 5'5", 170.
So that is actually correct, 170 pounds at 5'5".
It's almost like I know what I'm talking about.
It's fucking hilarious. I actually like questions like that because you're educating a lot of people out there that may not be familiar with, little things like that when it comes to fighting.
Sure.
All right, next question. Speed, power, movement, mentality, preservation, and technique are the keys to being a great fighter. True or false? This is a ridiculous one.
Of course, it's true.
If it said false, I would want to know what her answers are.
Right? Like, what do you mean? What else could there possibly be?
All right. So it says you got 8 out of 10, but I believe you got 10 out of 10. Now we're going to go to the legit questions. Are you ready for this shit to get turned up?
I mean, you said it was turned up before. Now it's got to get turned.
Turn.
Ready for the double turn.
Ready for it to get lit. All right. I got my rat on my lap right now. Hold on. Stay right there. I'm getting attacked by...
Do you remember the Cleveland show where he had a pet rat named Rat Lauer?
No.
Yeah, he found a rat in the basement on the television show, the Cleveland show, and he made his family leave, but he ended up his family to come home. So he made him his pet. He named him Rat Lauer.
No way, dude. I got to see that because all my listeners know I'm a, you know, I got a ton of pet rats over here at the studio. They're actually on the couch right now. People can can see them chilling. But they're really smart animals. People don't give them the credit they actually deserve.
I think the image that we think of a rat is like, you know, the sewer dwelling, dirty, gross one. But yeah, I think most animals, if they're not in that environment, are probably pretty all right.
All right. So here we go. We're going to ask you a couple questions here that are going to get a little bit more difficult. All right. George St. Pierre lost his first title defense in which match? 1999 against Rashad Evans, Matt Hughes, Matt Serra, or Matt Serra 2007 or Matt Serra 2008, which is just
ridiculous. The first UFC match that George lost was against Matt Hughes.
And that was...
Was that B, I think you said, right?
Yeah, B. It's saying that that is false.
No, he lost to Matt Hughes was his first UFC.
Or no, it's not saying that it's false. Hold on, let me press next.
No, I'm sure on that one.
I think it's going to tell us our answers at the end. Hold on here.
Oh, okay. But yeah, he lost to Matt Hughes first, and then he lost to Matt Serra and avenged both.
Hold on one second. Is that one of your favorite fighters? Do you think he's going to come back?
I don't know. I think it would have to take a very lucrative payday. It would have to be an opponent that he felt like he could look good against. I think he's made enough money, and he continues to make enough money through his other ventures that he doesn't have to. But, yeah, I think we have about a 50-50 chance of seeing GSP one more time.
Yeah, but against who? Who would you want to see him fight?
That's the hard part. I mean, in my druthers, I would love to see him fight Khabib. That'd be my first choice. I'm not really interested in a McGregor fight. He's so much bigger than Conor. I just don't see it being super competitive. But yeah, I think Khabib would be the one that I think most people would be into.
All right, so. Question number one, who was the first fighter to beat Rampage? Igor Vachikin, Ricardo Arona, Kazushi Sakuraba, Marvin Eastman, or Wanderlei Silva?
I'm going to say Marvin Eastman, final answer.
All right, Marvin Eastman, and that is correct. I was just checking our audio there. You remember like all those fights like back in the day, because those were the magic days of mixed martial arts that a lot of people missed out on. And I'd really recommend going back and watching, some of the Pride era and even the WEC days were a lot of fun. Strikeforce.
Yeah, dude, the King of the Cage that I just referenced, they had a lot of great guys come through King of the Cage for a long time.
I believe Chris Weidman was out of King of the Cage.
Was he? I didn't know that. I know he had a brief regional record after he came out of wrestling. But yeah, he might have gone to King of the Cage as well.
In Pride FC/UFC, who was the only fighter to debut and face three top 10 fighters and win the heavyweight championship? I believe I asked you this before. Randy Couture, Josh Barnett, Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira, Fedor Emelianenko, or Brock Lesnar?
Who is the guy to debut in the UFC? And then his first three UFC or Pride opponents were all top 10?
In Pride FC/UFC, who is the only fighter to debut and face three top 10 fighters and win the heavyweight championship? Randy Couture, Josh Barnett, Nogueira, Fedor, or Lesnar?
So, again, I'm sorry to be a jerk on this, but you're saying he won the title after his first three fights?
I believe that's what it's asking here. In Pride FC UFC, who's the only fighter to debut and face three top 10 fighters and win the heavyweight?
It's got to be Brock. It's got to be Brock.
Yeah, but Brock was in Pride.
No, but he said it's Pride or UFC. Is that what it's
saying? Oh, okay. I see what you're saying there. That would make a lot of sense then, right?
Yeah, it's got to be Brock. That's the only one that's possible.
Ooh, it's saying Fedor Emelianenko, which I got to disagree with there.
because he fought, because so when Brock came in, he fought Keith Haring, right? Well, first he fought Frank, but they fought Keith Haring, and then Shane Carwin, and then Randy for the belt, right? Well, first
he fought Frank. Yeah, it was kind of weird. They gave him the fast track. He had that first fight in Japan. It was like a warm-up to get ready, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I have a poster from that one.
You know, they gave him some pretty tough competition. A lot of people just wrote him off. I was pretty impressed with some of his. Obviously, he lost to Frank Mir, lost to Overeem, but those are tough guys to be fighting, you know?
Yeah, 100%. This guy had no amateur MMA. He had no regional MMA. He just came right in front to the fucking big show. And yeah, he was a freak athlete. But yeah, what I thought the question was asking was, who fought his first three fights in the UFC or Pride? I guess top 10 guys, and then won the belt. So they're saying it's Fedor. I mean, I guess that's it then.
Well, because I thought differently when I read that question too. I thought it was asking Pride and UFC.
I thought it was saying in the Pride or UFC, like either one. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll chalk that one up as confusing. We'll move on to the next one.
All right, here we go. Next question. But you know what? Who's that new guy from the NFL that came over?
Greg Hardy.
Yeah, they would never give him the type of competition they gave Brock, you know?
Well, no way, just because he's a, you know, at least Brock was the NCAA champion in 2000, so at least he had the highest of high-level wrestling. So granted, it was like 10, 11 years later, but at least he had it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Next question. Who is the only fighter to have his win reversed to a loss? Nick Diaz, Matt Serra, Carol Parishian, Igor Vakvichin, or Dean Thomas?
Have a win overturned into a loss. Does it specify Pride or UFC or anything like that?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, can I have a list of guys once more?
Nick Diaz, Matt Serra, Carol Parishian, Igor Vakvichin, or Dean Thomas?
So it's Carol Parishian or Igor Vovechkin, is how you say those guys.
Vovechkin.
I really don't know. I have no idea. So I'm just going to guess, and this is total guess, I'm just going to guess Nick Diaz.
Let's see here. It was Matt Serra, it's saying. But you know what? Diaz, he's gotten in trouble so many times. I would think he would pop for something, like smoking weed, and then, you know, take it away. That's what I would think, right?
He did that. I know he got popped after he beat Gomi, and that was a no contest. But I thought maybe further litigation or something turned into a reversal. I don't know. But yeah, I did not know that. Do we have the context of the Matt Serra? Like, does it specify like when or how? Or...
No, it doesn't. I want to look into that. I'm guessing it was maybe before he was even on the that season Ultimate Fighter. Because remember, they all got their shot back into the UFC to try to.
Yeah, the comeback, they called that season.
What was that, season three?
I don't know. Rich Franklin. Do you remember when Mark Lemon and Sarah got into it on that season? Where he was like, you should watch how you talk, pal, because you're not a fighter. You don't fight. Do you remember that?
You know, Matt Sarah, he's ridiculous, man. He does like things that he doesn't realize that he's doing that are absolutely hilarious, which is why I'm not a big fan of the podcast that he does, but when he was on the Dana White Looking for a Fight with him, Dean and Dana, I got a big kick out of Matt on there.
He's a funny dude. There's no way around it. You're right.
You know what? Before we go to the next question, they did, back in the day, they did like UFC cribs, and they go to Matt's house, and it's just a total guy house, like a crash house where he's got like one poster on the wall of himself and there's nothing in the crib. It's so hilarious. It's such a New York thing.
I never got that.
I'll try to find the link and send it on Twitter.
I saw Chuck Liddell on cribs. I remember that. Well, yeah, it was that. And then also when he had Antonio Banuelos, remember he was on the Tap Out show, living at Chuck's house, and they kind of did a tour of Chuck's. But then I believe Chuck was on cribs as well. So
there was another show up, the Fight. What was it? Fight House or something like that with DC and all those guys over at that gym I just started watching recently.
Okay.
There's a couple of good MMA shows out there that people don't really even know about from back in the day, but it was all the same thing, trying to do reality shows. So next question, who holds the longest unbeaten streak in MMA? Word is on beating, including draws, it says. Travis Fulton, Dan Severn, Fedor Emelianenko, Boz Rutten, or Igor Vakhvizhin?
Man, they love putting Igor Vovechkin in these.
Yeah, they're killing me, man. They're killing me with that.
The one in history, it has to be Fedor.
All right, let's see here. Incorrect. They're saying Igor because
Igor Vovechkin?
Yeah, he was way back in the day, like the early UFC days, correct?
But he was more of a pride guy. He's one of the highlight reel KOs that Mirko Krokop had with one of the high kicks, and I believe it was after that one where he had the famous right leg hospital, left leg more. But yeah, that was Igor Vovechkin. But man, they love Igor Vovechkin in this. Yeah, I would have thought it was Fedor because he only had the one loss, and that was by due to a cut real early that he rattled off like 30 in a row or some shit. So I find it hard to believe that Igor Vovechkin at some point had a 30-plus win streak, but hey, maybe it did.
You know, yeah, I would agree with you there, too, with the Fedor thing. We're going to have to go back and look at some of these. There's a good documentary on Fight Pass about Igor. I think it's like, where are they now? All right, next question. In 1999, who was considered the best heavyweight fighter in the world? 1999. So I feel like you're going to get this one. Randy Couture, Mark Kerr, Mark Coleman, Fedor Emelianenko, or your boy Igor? Not even to do it.
my first guess really is Mark Coleman would be my answer. I mean, I think it's Fedor. I would think people would think it's Fedor, but if we're talking like around the world, I don't know, man. Because you know, Pride, not many people were watching Pride back then, so it'd be between the best of the UFC, which would have been Mark Coleman at the time, or Fedor. For me, it's Fedor, but I'm guessing they're going to say it's Mark Coleman.
I'm going to say Mark Coleman, too. Let's see. They're saying, bro, there's who do you think they said? They said Igor, bro. They went with Igor.
I would have thought they would have said Mark Coleman, but for me, it was Fedor. If they say Igor Vovechkin, this game is fucking rigged.
Yeah, Igor put this game together. Igor put this game together.
This is from Igor and his family. This is his new career. He made this online trivia. This
is
the Igor Vovechkin hour.
.com. Yeah, IgorVovechkinTrivia.com.
Is that what they're saying?
No. Imagine, though. I wouldn't be surprised if it's funded or he's like a sponsor or something.
Right.
That's great.
And who are they? So are they saying?
Oh, they said Igor was the winner for that one.
Give me a fucking break.
Yeah, Igor's the winner for that.
Stupid.
Which fighter holds the most King of Pancreas titles?
King of Pancreas?
Yeah. Tatsui, Yuki Kondo, Nate Marquardt, Boz Rutten, or Semi Schilt?
Oh, man, I was going to say Nate Marquardt if it was open-ended, so, gosh, Semi Schilt has bunched the first, yeah, I'm going to stick with Nate Marquardt, final answer. That's what I'm sticking with.
They're going with Tatsui Ino.
Yeah, I did not know that one, so yeah, whoever they say, I'm...
Hey, Madonna me. Let's try to get him back on here. One second, guys. Don't you love it? Don't you just love it? Let's try to get Rhino back up in here. Some of these are absolutely crazy because I do not agree with a lot of these answers in here. Let's get our boy back up in here. Bellator going down tonight. Also UFC. Which no one's even talking about. Chris Cyborg making her debut over at Bellator. It's a little strange if you ask me. Why would you not be promoting the hell out of Chris Cyborg's first fight over there? Especially against Julie Budd. Come on. Julie Budd gets no love either. We're calling Rhino back. What's up, Rhino? I turned the video on so you can be able to see me now. Can you see me? Can you see me or no?
Yeah, I can see you fine. Can you see me?
Not yet, but I'm sure it will kick back in over here. Let's see. Yeah, this game's rigged. I was just telling everybody. I agree with all of the answers that you put in here, but they're not having it, bro. They're just not having it.
I think we also got cut off because Igor Povetskin heard us talking shit. We exposed him. Yeah. So he's the one who interrupted our phone call and cut us off.
That's exactly what happened here. But but really quick, I got to ask you this. If you could, say one event of all time for a new MMA fan to go out there and check out, Fight Pass or something, what would be one of the one of your favorites?
Tough Season 1 finale. I mean, everything about that was what solidified me as a super fan, not just a fan, because we already talked about like the origin story where you and I both had a similar one where we were pro wrestling fans and we turned into MMA fans. But the season of Tough One, the finale, the Griffin Botter fight to me,
oh man,
would solidify that for anybody to be like, oh my god, I can't believe this is a real thing. That'd be the first fight I would show any somebody who was like, I keep hearing about this MMA, what's it like? I show them that one. That is probably my A number one favorite fight. You know, Rory and Robbie too was fucking unbelievable. You know what I mean, or whatever. But yeah, there's a lot of great fights. But that, yeah, Tough One finale would be what I would show them first.
All right, I gotta agree with you on that one as well, because I remember going into school and everyone was talking about it. That first season of Ultimate Fighter, just everyone tuned into that.
Not only was the fight so great, but like the fact that he gave them both contracts.
That was crazy.
The place just popped. The place popped like no place I'd ever heard before. You know, it wasn't a mega arena. It was a theater. So it felt much more intimate. You know what I mean? And yeah, that was definitely, dude, that was my favorite card at the time and probably one of the best ever.
Next question. We got a couple more here. UFC shows with the most pay-per-view buys ever as of January 2013. So go back. We got UFC 66, Liddell versus Ortiz 2, real big fight. UFC 94, GSP versus BJ Penn 2. UFC 100, Lesnar versus Mir 2. Or UFC 116, Lesnar versus Shane Carwin.
I'm talking about, you said what's the most pay-per-view buys for all of those?
Yeah, as of January 2013.
Yeah, I would go with Lesnar and Mir too.
100% agree with you. That's got to be it. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Did you watch that pay-per-view at the time?
1000% yes, dude. Talk all your bullshit now. Freaking a horseshoe up his ass. I pulled that son of a bitch out and I beat him over the head with it.
So epic, man. So epic.
If you ever watch that close, Frank Mir's dad is in the shot when he's up against the fence pounding on him, and he's yelling, "You got nothing, Brock! You got nothing, Brock!" And then as soon as Brock gets him on the other side, he's like, "Stop the fight!" All the same breath, dude. It's amazing.
Oh, my God. Because that first fight was pretty crazy because Brock, he wasn't doing that bad, and then he get caught in that submission.
Right. The knee bar.
All right, next question. BJ Penn beat Takanori Gomi by a rear naked choke in the third round in which main event? Pride, UFC, Rumble on the Rock, or K1?
Oh, that's a good question. I would lean towards Rumble on the Rock, so I'm going to stick with that, Rumble on the Rock. That's the Hawaii promotion.
All right, we clicked it, and it's saying K1.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that one.
I'm okay. It's not saying K1. We got to submit our answers at the end. So we'll find out. We'll find out. George Rush St. Pierre. Oh, no, you answered that one. Oh, I think you said Matt Serra. All right. Mikro Krokop suffered his first MMA knockout loss in which match? The Final Conflict Absolute against baby-faced assassin Josh Barnett. His 2004 fight with Kevin Randleman, his 2007 UFC bout with Gabriel Gonzaga, or 2005 super fight with Pride heavyweight champion Fedor Emelianenko.
I'm going to say, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm going to say the high kick knockout he suffered to Gabriel Gonzaga.
Another epic one. Krokop and Krokop.
and his fucking leg just
big leg shocker there too. Who would have ever thought Gabriel's a nice guy too. He has a gym, G Squared, great guy. He's doing submission fights now. Oh, he was just in the bare knuckle as well. Yeah.
So he's not part of Team Link anymore? You said his gym is now called G something?
He trains over at G Squared. But Team Link is another huge gym over here in this area as well. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, it was Ludlow, Massachusetts, where he used to train out of where Team Link was. But yeah, I didn't know if he'd move at some point or not.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys over at Team Link. Tons of guys over at Cage Titans fight for them as well, and CES. Vitor Belfort is from where? Brazil, USA, France, or Canada?
Brazil. Final answer.
All these fighters, Matt Hughes, Sean Chur, GSP, and BJ Penn, have fought each other. True or false?
Said Matt Hughes, GSP, BJ Penn, and who was the other
Sean
one?
Sean Chur.
That's true.
Yeah, yep, I go true on that one. What is Fedor's nickname? The Last Emperor, Emperor. The Fierce, Enchu?
The Last Emperor.
Too easy. This one. Kevin Randleman, Guy Metzger, Babalu, Overeem, and Vernon White all have what in common? They have all been knocked out by the Iceman, Chuck Liddell. They all train at Hammer House. They all fought in the 2007 Pride Openweight Grand Prix, or they have all lost to Fedor via armbar.
That was Babalu, Vernon Tiger White, Alistair Overeem, and then who else?
Guy Metzger.
Yeah, they've all been knocked out by Chuck Liddell.
Bada boom. Bada boom. See, that was a tougher one for our listeners out there.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
Which one of these facts about MMA legend Wanderlei Silva are actually true? He earned his nickname from a town rumor about a murder. He lost a split decision to super heavyweight Mark Hunt. He knocked out Keith Jardine early in the second round, or he was knocked out by Chuck Liddell. Which one of these are facts?
Which one of them are facts?
Yeah.
I thought Mark Hunt stopped him, so I don't know if that's true or not. I have no idea about how he got the Axe Murderer nickname, if that was from an actual
rumor.
I have no idea.
So brutal.
What were the last two?
Lost split decision to Mark Hunt, knocked out Keith Jardine early in the second round, or he was knocked out by Chuck Liddell.
Chuck Liddell did not knock him out. They went to a decision, right?
Yeah.
I know he lost to Keith Jardine, and then. I thought Mark Hunt stopped him. So I'm going to say, I'm not sure. I don't know, man.
We're going with the Mark Hunt one. All right. Diago Pitbull Alves knocked out Matt Hughes in the second round in their first ever UFC meeting, cementing Alves as a top contender. True or false?
Did he beat him in the second round?
And he just got signed to BKFC this week.
Bare knuckle, I saw that. Because remember, he had to take a long hiatus because he had a bad CAT scan at one point. I don't know if it was bleeding on the brain or what it was, but we thought his career was over. And then, he had a little bit of resurgence.
He was at UFC 100, right? Wasn't he on that card?
I believe so, yeah. So they're asking, did he stop Matt Hughes in the second round?
Yeah, in their first ever UFC meeting.
Yeah, I'll just, I know I beat him, but I don't remember the round, so I'll say yes.
All right, last question. Kazushi, the Gracie Hunter, Sakuraba, our boy, had his first UFC win against who? Marcus Silveira, Vitor Belfort, Guy Metzger, or BJ Penn?
Jeez, take away BJ Penn. It definitely wasn't him. I don't know the first name that you said.
Marcus Silveira.
I'll go with that one. I'll go with A because I don't know.
Let's see. Submit my answers. And all the answers were Igor Vakvishin.
Igor, the janitor of Ovechkin. All fucking 20 questions.
All right. So you got the...
You don't even know the MMA. All you need to know. Yeah. You got to say Igor Vakvishin and you win.
This this quiz brought to you by his upcoming documentary.
The Haney biography with Igor.
So let's start from the bottom and work our way up here. The last one you got right. Gracie Hunter Sakuraba beat Marcus Silveira at UFC Japan via armbar in the first round. The Pitbull one was true. He knocked out Matt Hughes in the second round in their first UFC meeting.
Two for two.
Wanderlei Silva, you got that one correct. Wanderlei Silva lost his 2004 war with Mark Hunt via decision. Although with the weight difference, was it really a loss?
Yes.
Kevin Randleman, Guy Metzger, Babalu, Alistair Overeem, and Vernon White. That one was correct as well. Kay Ortiz, Chuck Liddell knocked out all of these men and many more, including Tito Ortiz, Randy Couture, Jeremy Horn, Steve Heath, and Paul Jones. Was Fedor's Emelianenko's nickname Last Emperor? You got that one wrong. All these fighters, Matt Hughes, Sean Sherk, George St. Pierre, and BJ Penn have fought each other. That was true. You got that one correct. Vitor, the Phenom Belfort. That one was true from Brazil. BJ Penn beat Takanori Gomi by rear naked choke in the third round in which main event? You guessed Rumble on the Rock. That was true. You are the father. Now, for people out there listening, they don't realize that BJ Penn went against the grain with UFC. He wanted to fight other promotions while he was fighting with the UFC, and Dana was not a happy man about that.
Right.
A matter of fact, I believe they were on a plane after BJ had a fight, going to fight overseas somewhere, and he had to come back because he was threatened that he was going to get fired or something from the UFC if he did it. Because, you know,
my
he's
homie,
putting...
My homie fought Andre Arlovski. My homie Ray Lopez fought Andre Arlovski at Rumble on the Rock in Hawaii a few years back. It was, like, one of the first fights, like, before the resurgence of Andre Arlovski. So shout-out to Rumble on the Rock. Shout-out to my boy Ray Lopez.
Why? Wait, Rumble... What year was that?
Oh, gosh, it's got
to
be...
I would love to go back and watch that.
2011, something like that.
Some of the old school fights like that with some big names that, you know, we know nowadays is just so much fun to sit back and watch the replays.
This would have been like, so remember Arlovski already had his first run in the UFC?
Yeah, went to World Series of Fighting. Yeah.
Like, right, like he like lost to Brett Rogers and all those guys. And then, yeah, he went over to Rumble on the Rock and fought my homie Ray Lopez. And in a very tough fight, beat Ray Lopez. And that kind of was the jumping off point to him kind of having the big resurgence.
You know, Arlovski, man, he's still, even Shogun. I mean, these guys have had tough careers. But Rumble Johnson kind of had a similar thing happen with him, with, you know, Arlovski and him kind of have the same storyline in a way, where they got kicked out of the UFC, came back, and did big things up until recently. The Miracle Krokop suffering his first MMA knockout loss in which match? You guessed Gabriel Gonzaga.
Yeah.
And the answer was 2004 versus Kevin Randleman.
No, that's my first L on that one.
Punch to the jaw, winning him an upset victory. All right. And the first one you got correct too, GSP. And the Matt Serra one. Man, you killed it on this one. So you're going to win a gift card. You got to tell me where you want the gift card. You want it a regular gift card, Apple's gift card, Walmart gift card. You tell me. And we're also going to be donating an extra $5 to the donation of Ray Omoplata soup that he's holding on GoFundMe as well in your name.
Yeah. I want to. Oh, that one's going to be in my name.
So yeah, I'm going to put that donation in your name. So okay, you have that, and then.
Yeah, let's. Is there a charity to help the Australian wildfires? You guys can put that towards.
You want to do that?
Funding for that? Yeah.
We can totally do that, and we'll put it in your name. I'm trying to think, because you got to be so careful nowadays with, you know, the donation sites. You got to make sure it's the real fire supporter, the real donation center. So if you find the link for that, send it to me, because I think I saw one on Facebook, like right at the top, they're doing it. So we'll do that. We'll take a screenshot and send it to you. We're going to have another competition next week as well. We're not going to be doing trivia. I have something really special planned, something really fun and interactive as well, with a whole bunch of visual effects. I've been trying to get going, but my computer is about to get smashed. I swear to God. So, Rhino, before we let you go, man, I got to ask you this. Bellator tonight, Cyborg, Julia Budd. Do you see any promotion for it at all? Because I've seen none.
No, except for on Twitter. I saw some on Twitter, but no, I did not see any commercials. Here's the problem, dude. We talked about this with Juice. We talked about it with you. If Bellator could just get their shit together, just put it on Paramount, make it a Paramount exclusive fucking thing where they would do their own version of countdown specials, their own way, is all the things that the UFC does, just on Paramount, I guarantee you their numbers would fucking skyrocket from where they are now. Well, so no, I did not see any promotion of any kind outside of Twitter.
Think about if you did your show one day on iTunes, next day on Podbean, next week on Spotify. It wouldn't work.
People and one day on Sunday, and one day on Wednesday morning, and then one day on fucking Thursday night. It wouldn't work at all.
It's just ridiculous. And then you have people on Twitter, because it wasn't live, telling you what happened on the show. Now they lose their interest. So,
for sure. They're a shit show over there. The problem is, they've got a lot of talented people over there.
Yeah.
And the best UFC we could see is a UFC being pushed. I don't want to refer to pro wrestling all the time, but we all know that the WWE got better when they had the WCW pushing them to be better, right? The UFC is a better place with some competition. And Bellator has a lot of great talented guys, some named guys and gals, and they can put on some great fights. But if nobody knows when to fucking watch, where to watch, yada, yada, it doesn't fucking matter.
Exactly. Also, I want to know if you're interested in doing or being a part of one of the episodes we're setting up for MMA Conspiracies. It's a series we're doing at pureevilmma.com, where there's a ton of MMA conspiracies out there that we're going to dive into on like a 10-minute produced breakdown. I'm going to actually pre-record it and produce it myself. And I got a whole bunch of topics if you'd be interested in, calling in one day and going over.
Yeah, I'm 100% in, dude. All of these ideas you've thrown out my way, I'm 100% for. I'm 100% in on. They're all really interesting.
Still waiting for my Apple MacBook to get here. It's going to solve all these computer issues I got over here. I swear to God, I'm going to live stream me smashing my laptop, man.
Well, the good news is because I have to do this in my car when we Skype into each other or whatever, because it's just too noisy in the house. You know what I'm saying? And it's not that cold in Michigan right now, shockingly enough. It's like 35 degrees right now, which for this time of year is fairly warm, so it hasn't been too bad.
Rhino, you know what we like to do at this point in the show? We hand the imaginary microphone over to you if you have any shout-outs, social media tags, and what you got planned this week for your show. The floor is now all yours.
Yeah, definitely, dude. Actually, tomorrow will be the first Sunday where we don't have a new episode. My phenomenal, wonderful, amazing engineer Dave is actually out of town on vacation. So we are taking a one-week break, but we at least have the Evil Eddie, Pure Evil MMA show to put out there. So we'll have some Rhino content. You can find our show, our first 7 episodes, including last week's phenomenal fucking interview with the incredible Serena De Jesus on iPods. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on Spotify, Anchor FM. We're on all the platforms. You can look us up on our Twitter page with Calm Sports with Rhino. And again, the show is called Combat Sports with Rhino. We're on all the platforms. We love questions you guys send in. I love being as interactive as possible. So once again, no show tomorrow for the first time, but we will be back the following week. I have a great interview lined up with a very notable high-level MMA fighter. I think it will be stoked to hear about. So yeah, we hope you guys join us, man. We love you guys.
Ooh, setting up that beat. So we'll actually have the link down below, and you just brought up Serena. Wonderful girl, super nice, and has overcome a lot. She's a real, true inspiration. You guys should definitely go check out that interview. I'm going to go listen to it right now, matter of fact. So if you guys want to check it out, I'll have the link down below here on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Spotify. You can find all the links at pureevilmma.com. Rhino, enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the fights, and we'll talk to you soon. Congratulations on winning.
You got it, my brother. Thanks so much.
God bless.
Hey, peace. You too.
All right, guys, that does it for this episode of Pure Evil MMA. We are coming back at you tomorrow with a complete breakdown of all the latest MMA news. And we got something very special planned for this week. As you just heard, talking about little conspiracy theories. We're doing the series. And I was talking about it, and then MMA On Point came, swooped the rug right out from underneath my feet. Me and the staff were just in shock about it. But we love what they do over at MMA On Point. Did it justice, but we had to wait a little while. We can't release something right when another site does. So we got something really special planned and some really interesting MMA conspiracies, Shane Dawson style. So it's going to go deep and put a lot of effort into researching a lot of these topics. If you guys have an MMA conspiracy of your own that you want to tell us about, let us know on Twitter at @PureEvilMMA_. And also my personal Twitter at @Evil_Echo. That's @EVIL_ECTO. We just released Rhino and Juice's finale show. You can check that out, pureevilmma.com. I just published that. And that does it for Pure Evil MMA. I'm Evil Eddie, pureevilmma.com. Remember, without evil, there's no purity. White knuckles to the end.
Behave yourselves.